Well, good morning. This was a long passage. This is one of the most critical stories in the whole book of John. Abraham Lincoln, when he was talking about this text, actually said, if the Gospel of John is the gospel of life, this is the miniature of the whole book. What he was saying is it is in this story that you actually see the whole book and purpose of the Gospel of John. It's a pretty powerful thing to consider. Today, I want to invite you to see yourself in this story. Jesus is going to interact with, namely, three different people in this text: Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. You are in this story. Somewhere in this passage, you might relate to actually all three. Martha and some of her actual faith, which is neat to see. You get to see Mary in her pain, in her suffering. Jesus enters in. Lazarus in his just death. Jesus enters into that as well. This morning, Jesus has a message for all of you. He's focused in this passage. The thing that you get to see over and over again, if you have your John journals and you can circle, just circle how much love is in this passage. The word love is just all over this passage. When Jesus weeps, do you know what the crowd says? Did you remember what that one line? See how he loved him. Today, that's what I want us to see, not only of Lazarus, not only of his love towards Martha, not only of his love towards Mary, but see his love towards you. See how he has loved you. This morning, I want to begin like Martha says to Mary. The teacher is here, and he is calling for you. Jesus is here at this moment, and he has a word for you. He's calling you. This is what we do this is Sunday. Every Sunday, that's what we believe. We show up because God is here, and he's calling for us. So I want us to begin this morning by just asking God to speak in his word to us in whatever way he sees. So if you would, let's pray. Father, we ask you in this time to speak, that your voice might come into our hearts, wherever we find ourselves, whether it's like Mary, Martha, or Lazarus, your voice can cut through any situation and speak right to the place of our need. So this morning, I ask that you would do the same in this text, in this passage. Would your word bring forth much fruit this morning in our lives? God, would you care for those who need care this morning? Would you encourage those who need encouragement? Would you convict us where we need conviction? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want us to remember kind of the situation of this passage. We've been walking through the book of John, and this has led us here to the seventh sign that Jesus performs. This is his kind of the culmination of these works throughout the book of John that Jesus is doing, that really, when he does this miracle, this is going to seal his own death. We did not read this, but right after this passage, these religious leaders are like, if he can do this, everyone will believe in him. And the high priest at that time says, it's better that one man die for the entire world. And they start planning Jesus' death out of this miracle. Jesus knows that that's what's going to happen too. So one is, I want us to invite us into the context of this passage. This passage is, he is walking into a very tense passage. You might have noticed the disciples, when they hear about this sickness and Jesus decides to stay around for a little bit longer, they actually say, when he says, let's go up to Bethany, they say, hey, everyone just wanted to stone you in Jerusalem. We probably shouldn't go there. And if you think about it, the word just came to Jesus, the one you love, Lazarus, he's sick. They don't request his coming, do they? They just tell Jesus he's sick. There's no request of his coming. So the disciples, I think, are going like, why would we go there? And I want to bring you back, especially if you have your Bibles, you can flip to this. In John 8, Jesus gives this incredible sermon about him and his Father. But he says this in John 8:54. He says this, Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God, but you have not known him. I know him. And if I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And so they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. It is at this point, like in John 8, he calls himself God. That where he says, before Abraham was, I am, that is the name Yahweh. This is the name for God. The reason they all are picking up stones is because of that commandment, you shall not take my name in vain. He was calling himself God, the creator, God, the God of Abraham. So they want to stone him. Well, in chapter 10, a very similar thing's happened. He again starts talking about his father, and he says this in 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones to stone him. Again, these people, these religious leaders are thinking he is making himself equal to God. He is on two occasions now gone into Jerusalem and upset the folks so much, the religious leaders so much, that they want to have him killed. This is the setting that we need to see. Bethany is only 2 miles away from Jerusalem. When he is coming to see his friends, he is walking into like enemy territory. He knows where he's going. He knows the risk that he is walking into. But he loves these people. He loves them. In this 44 verses that was read, honestly, there's just too much to talk about. There is too much. There is so many amazing things. You might have a question. Man, I saw in the text that Jesus decides to stay because he loved Mary and Martha. He stayed because he loved them, and then he died. How does that work? Well, that's pretty deep, and that's not my message for today. Go to community group. Talk about that. There's some riches underneath it. But today, I want us to focus on the interactions he has with Martha, with Mary, and with Lazarus. With Martha, we're actually going to see this interesting faith that she has. She literally says the exact same words as her sister Mary. Mary and her say the exact same phrase in this text, except Martha adds on this phrase about, I know you can do anything. Like, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. But she has this faith in the passage that's like, I know that you can do anything, God. So we're going to see Jesus enter into Martha's faith. We're going to see in this passage Mary's pain and suffering. She is hurting. She is crushed. And Jesus is going to enter into her pain and suffering. And with Lazarus, you know what he was. He was dead. Jesus is going to enter into his death. Here's one just important concept. No matter where you are, this passage shows that Jesus walks into that place. He comes to where you are, whether you're in a place right now of faith, whether you're in a place of pain and hurt. Maybe both of those things are happening at the exact same time. Well, listen to this. If you're dead, if you're so far gone and so dark that you think, I'm done, death can't separate you from Jesus. It cannot separate you. Let's look at how he interacts with Martha. Let's go there first. Verse 17 of chapter 11, John tells us, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And so many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. You get to see Martha and her faith in this passage. She comes out to meet Jesus. In a lot of ways, if you know anything about Martha and Mary, Martha seems to be in a very different place than Mary. Like, Mary used to be in this place of faith. And in this passage, Mary is in a place of, like, you don't know where she's at. In another story of the gospel stories, there's a story where Jesus comes with all of his disciples, and Martha is like, man, I got to feed a bunch of these people. So she's in the kitchen getting a ton of stuff ready. And you know where Mary is? Mary's at Jesus' feet. She is just focused on Jesus. And Martha comes out and says, hey, Mary, I need some help. There's a ton of people here. There's a lot of food here. And Jesus actually says, Martha, your sister desires the greater thing. And it seems like Martha here is taking Jesus up on that. The crowds are at her house, and Martha goes to be alone with Jesus. She leaves the crowds. She desires the better thing, which is just to be with Jesus. Don't work. Just be with me. You get to see that Mary stays. Martha, we get to see her faith here. She's walking this, something's changed with her. And she comes out to Jesus. She puts herself in front of Jesus. And she even just comes to him with her grief. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't be dead. She says what's on her heart. She knows that Jesus can do anything. She's seen his healings, heard and listened to his ministry and his miracles. She knows who Jesus is. But she even says that phrase, I love this. But I even know that now, whatever you ask from God, God will give you. You get to see her faith come out. Look at how Jesus responds to this faith in verse 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. It's an amazing interaction here. Jesus responds to her faith with saying, your brother will rise again. And she takes it as probably how we would talk to each other, you know, upon one of our friends' death or our family member's death. If I said to you, hey, your brother, your sister, your friend will rise again, you'd probably respond the same way if you're a person of faith. I know, you know, on that last day, he will rise again. Jesus had something else in mind here. Jesus had something a little bit more immediate. He's kind of putting himself out in front of her faith. Her faith comes and he says, your brother will rise again. And he gives her, when he enters into her faith, you get to see her faith. He actually reveals himself in a greater way to her. You know, you get to see her belief here in who he is, but he's going to add something so rich. What is to her faith? What does he tell her? I am the resurrection. What an amazing truth just to sit with in your own life, in your own faith. I am the resurrection, Jesus says, and the life. To her faith, he enters himself in and reveals more about who he is to her faith in a deeper way, and she gets it. You know, he says this whole phrase about, if you believe in me, you'll never die. Do you believe this? And to me, I think if I would have responded, I'd be like, yeah, if I don't believe this, I won't ever die. That's a self-centered faith. She immediately, it's an all Christ-focused faith. Do you see this? It's amazing. He says, hey, do you believe that everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die? Do you believe this? She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you, not me, that I'll ever die. Her faith is just all on Jesus. It's all on him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. See, he said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And so her faith is just kind of, you get to see it weirdly flourishing in this time of incredible struggle and pain. Jesus enters into her faith. And so today, if you're there, if you feel like, man, there's this, something's happening with my faith, I want to invite you to invite Jesus into that. He's going to push your faith. He's going to reveal himself to you as the resurrection and the life. We would do well to listen to that, to ponder that truth in our hearts, to understand that that's not even all about us. That statement's all about him and what grace there is for us in that. Next, we get to see how he enters into Mary's suffering, into her pain. We get to see this in verse 28. There's just, again, this beautiful line that Martha comes to her sister with. Martha comes and says, she went and called her sister Mary and sang in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. You get to see in this passage him deal in such a different way with Mary. With Mary, he's going to enter into her faith. With Martha, he enters into her faith. With Mary, you get to see him enter into her suffering, into her pain and anguish. Her brother had died. She loved Lazarus. She was crushed and broken. And we get to see in this passage that he does a few things. Jesus comes and just listens. That's the first thing you get to see, is Jesus standing there. Mary comes. He doesn't even say anything. And she gets to speak this line that her sister had said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But she doesn't have the hope or faith of her sister. It's just, my brother's dead. And if you had been here, he wouldn't be dead. She was crushed. She was hurting. This connection that she had with her brother, it was totally lost. She wanted connection. She was moved. And Jesus just listens. He just opens his ears to her. Then what does he do? He opens his eyes to her. It says in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, he saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping also, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. He listens to her pain. He sees her pain. And he feels her pain. He is connecting with people in pain and suffering. They need connection. They don't always need the thing to be fixed. They need connection. Jesus hears, he sees, he feels. That line of he was greatly troubled, he was deeply moved in his spirit. These lines are rich. He is in himself having this powerful emotional response. What type of God is this? Who enters into our pain? He does not stay far away, but he comes to us in our pain. And he goes to it. He goes to the place and he shares in our pain. He feels it himself. He is not weeping for Lazarus. Does he know what he's going to do to Lazarus? Yeah. Is he crying for Lazarus? He's going to call out, Lazarus, come out. He knows what's going to happen. He is crying for her. He is weeping, the text says. It's not just crying. Jesus wept. He enters deeply into this place. And today, for those of you who are in pain and suffering, Jesus does not say, get your act together. My fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And peace. You're not there. So you don't have my spirit right now. Now see, this joy can actually commingle with your pain and suffering. And actually, when you allow Jesus into that, oh goodness, that is true joy. Is when you allow him to come into your pain and your suffering. He is, again, he just sees all of it. He actually goes deeper into the pain in the story too. And I want you to see this in 34. He does this through a question. He's seen, he's deeply moved, he's greatly troubled, and he says, "Where have you laid him?" He really gets personal with Mary. He's not talking to the crowd here. What, not where did y'all lay him? It's where did you lay him? Where did you bury your brother? He's, again, not avoiding pain. He's not avoiding suffering. Take me to the hard place, is what he's saying. Take me to where he lays. And then the crowd says, it's like she can't even say it. She can't do it. "Lord, come and see." Jesus allows them to invite him into that place. Into that place of death, Jesus is invited. "Lord, come and see." And he goes deeper into this pain. And it is here that we get to see him weep when he gets to this tomb. And the Jews even can say, "See how he loved him." He is weeping. His weeping, though, again, is not just for Lazarus. It is for Mary. It is for Martha. It is for their pain, their grief. This morning, some of you need to see the tears of Jesus. There is power in these tears. There is more power in these tears than in all the oceans of earth. His tears are cleansing. There are power. When you are in pain and you see your Savior crying and weeping, it can heal you. His tears are exactly what some of you need today. You need to see his tears. His blood and his tears will completely make us whole. And his tears are just so amazing to see in this passage. It is in his tears that his love is seen. His love is displayed. The crowd says, "Look at how much he is loved." It is in his tears that you get to see that for yourself. When he can look into your pain and you see him weep, goodness, that will heal you. That will cleanse you. That will move you. And that will ultimately, like Mary, she just needed connection. It is in those tears that there is a connection. Have you ever been with somebody in a hard time and that's what happened? You shared to them your pain and they actually cried with you? It is one of the most binding things. That person gets it. They know, they listen, they care. And here we get to see that Jesus does this. It is an amazing reality. Here's what Jesus says to those who are found in their pain. I think it's what Martha said. You know, to Martha, he says, "I am the resurrection." To Mary, I think he just says, "I am here." You know, Martha says, "The teacher is here and is calling you." That is what those who are in pain need. He's here. They don't need any fix. They need presence, the presence of God. I do want to invite you. There's an invitation this morning. He is calling for you. Move to him in your pain. Come out to him in your pain. Respond like Mary. Go to him in your pain. Talk to him. He's going to listen. He is going to see. He is going to enter more deeply into that pain. And he is going to weep with you. This is how he enters into Mary's situation. Now let's look at Lazarus. It gets to verse 38. And John tells us this. He goes on to say, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take the stone, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? He comes to this graveside. He comes to the tomb. Jesus is going to be moved again as he is in front of this tomb. Lazarus, his friend, has been dead for 4 days. And he sees the situation, and he sees this large stone that's going to keep out this odor. He says, roll it away, move it. I'm about to work. He is going to now enter, he's going to enter into Lazarus's death. See, he had told Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. What Lazarus is needed was Jesus in him. When Jesus is in you, you get resurrected. You get the life. And he asks these men to roll the stone away. It is at this picture that there actually becomes an interesting thought of Jesus' own tomb. You know, Jesus was dead and he was in the ground for 3 days. And there was a stone at his tomb. Here, he asked others to move this and roll away this tombstone. He's not going to need it when he comes up from the ground. There'll be none there. But because he is the resurrection and the life, because he is God, that stone doesn't have a chance to stay against that wall. See, Lazarus needed it moved. A couple men needed to move this thing. Jesus didn't need anybody to move his tombstone for him when he was going to raise from the ground. He prepares. He's entering. He's getting into this passage. He's entering into Lazarus's death. And so John goes on to tell us. He prays in this next section. He says, so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out. And his hands and his feet were bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him, let him go. And Jesus comes into this situation. He prays to his Father and says, Father, I'm thankful that you always hear me. And I'm even praying this now so that everyone standing around me can know that you listen to me. These are some of the same people that when I said you and I are one, they picked up stones to stone me. But Father, I'm glad you listened to me. And then I love how one early church theologian said of this passage, if he had not said, Lazarus, come out, the graves would have been emptied in that part of the world. But he calls Lazarus by name. He calls him out. He enters into his death personally. He says, Lazarus, come out. This morning, there's some of you in the room that you're spiritually dead. The Bible tells us this in Ephesians. The Apostle Paul tells us that before we met Jesus, we were dead in the trespasses of our sins. Paul goes on to tell us, you know, when you're dead, you can't do any good works. You can't do anything in front of God. You can't make yourself right. You can't, when you're dead, what can you do? Lay there. Decompose. We were dead in the trespasses of our sin, but God, according to his great grace, made us alive together with him. By grace, we have been saved through faith. See, this morning, some of you are dead. You know that inside your soul is dead. There's not a life there. You've been wondering what could fill this, what could replace these, what satisfactions do I need to stuff into me so that I can be fulfilled? It's Jesus Christ. You are designed for him and him alone. You will not be satisfied until you are reconciled to Jesus Christ and to his great Father and his Holy Spirit that just indwells us. You were made for that existence. You were made for the blessed life, the life of complete forgiveness, the life of God that where you don't walk in shame because he knows you completely. He's taken every single sin off of you. He's taken it away, he's removed you, and he's made you his own sons and daughters. He has done that through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Some of you, you're dead this morning. What does Jesus say to the dead? Come out. Jesus hates death. He hates destruction. He hates the things that kill us. He calls you to life. And he just told Martha what life is. It's very descriptive. It's him. I am the resurrection and the life. If you want life, there's no other place to go. There's one place. It is Jesus Christ. He calls to you this morning. Come out. And when you hear that voice, you have to come. You're going to come out. And for some of us, you're wondering, like, I just don't feel like I've heard that voice. You probably haven't heard it yet. But I'm praying that you do. I'm praying that Jesus speaks this into your life because when you hear it, you just got to come out and all your bandages and all your stuff. And I love how Jesus then commands, unbind him. I can't imagine the people probably like being like, oh crud, like, but I gotta obey him. I mean, this guy just obeyed him and he was dead for 4 days. So I'm living. I've got to unbind him. Yeah, unbind him. Matthew 5, if you get a chance this week, you should just read John 5. John 5 is basically Jesus preaching about like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to raise somebody from the dead. John 5, 28 and 29. Hey, listen to this, what Jesus says. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. One day, everyone's going to hear, come out, and we will all obey. This Jesus is God. He is the resurrection and the life, and he meets you in your faith. He meets you in your pain and suffering. He meets you in your death. He will enter into that place. Do not marvel at this. There is an hour on every in this age where every single person in a tomb will hear his voice and we will all come out. That is our great God. This is our Jesus Christ that enters into our situation. This morning, I want you to respond to that, Jesus. Some of you need to hear one of those three phrases. In your faith, you might need to hear, I am the resurrection and the life. You need to listen to that, ponder it. He even gets Martha, do you believe this? You need to consider that. Do you really believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? To those in your pain, I am here. To those that are dead, come out. Come out. Would you listen to Jesus today? And would you obey him so that you can experience him as the resurrection and the life? Let me pray for us. Jesus, this morning we come to you. And I wonder, it is amazing how you relate to each of these people. You relate to them each in the individual ways that they needed. God, in this morning, I know that you will do the same with our folks in this room. God, would you move in just the way that you want? Would people hear your voice and respond to it? It's in Jesus' name that we make this prayer. Amen.